Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now, here's a message from Pastor Jim Cobray.
Just real quick before we even get into the message, I was just sitting there thinking about, I don't know why, it just kind of popped into my mind, about Jesus when he said to his disciples, let's go over to the other side. And they get in a boat, and if you know the story, how it goes, and you'll find them where he's in the back of the boat and he's asleep. Does anybody remember that story? And he's got his head on a pillow and he's sleeping. A storm rises in the distance and the waves start to come under the boat and they're just like freaking out because they're gonna be destroyed, they're gonna sink, they're gonna maybe die out there. And that's what they were thinking to themselves and seeing for themselves. And Jesus gets up and he does something interesting. Jesus says a statement that I hadn't really ever seen before, but he speaks to the storm, be still, and of course it's still. And then he says to his disciples something fascinating. He says, why are you without any, you have no faith. He didn't say you're without faith. He didn't say you have little faith. He didn't say you have small faith. He said, you have no faith. And he just really rebukes them. And they're probably thinking to themselves, well, my goodness, why would we have faith? There's a storm before us. Life is about ready to pour on us. What they missed is they had little faith, or really no faith, not little faith, they had no faith because they did not hear what God said. God said, I never saw this before, let's go over to the other side. And he said, when he said, let's go over the other side, it is sealed in there. That's what they're going to do. The word of God has got to be stronger in you and stronger in me than the circumstances of life or our feelings or our thinking or anything else. When God speaks, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. What is it that we hear? We hear all the time from our flesh. We hear all the time from our own thinking. We hear all the time from our past. We hear all the time from human circumstances that were, you know, in our life and deal with those. We hear very little about what God says. And when you hear God's word greater than you hear your flesh, man, I'm telling you, now you're on a journey that's gonna explode with greatness in your life. And that's what we're here doing in the church right now. We are here learning about how to do life according to what God's word and God's will is in our life, not according to what we think. So the more you stay home, you will live life by the more you think and the way you feel. But the more you get the word of God, thank God you have a church like this you come to where the word of God is expressed and taught, that you can get more of the word of God so you can, the voice of the Lord now becomes louder than the storms of life. Come on, somebody. Is anybody listening? And that's what we're gonna do. I'm gonna share a message with you. I don't often struggle with messages anymore because I don't minister that many messages a couple of times a week in Bible college, different things like that. But I was struggling because I knew tonight was important. I knew God wanted to do something tonight in your life and mine. And as I was struggling, I realized that the message was already on the inside of me. I had spent at least an hour and a half, 2 hours talking to the Holy Spirit, jotting down thoughts. What about this thought? And here's a couple of verses to go with that thought. But nothing fit. It was like getting something that doesn't fit. It wasn't settled on the inside of me. And then I realized that I was living something that needed to be taught. Now, for a lot of you, you may not understand what I said just now, but let me say it again. I was living something that needed to be taught, and I hadn't recognized it. For an example, over the years of 40 years of being a pastor, I found myself oftentimes when I was sick, I needed to teach on healing because there was a lot of people that were sick inside the congregation needed to heal. When I was broke, I would teach on finances and have my faith in finances. And when I was having problems with this or that problem, it always gave me insight on what to go to. And I found out people in the church were exactly the same way. The title of tonight's message, and we'll pray in just a moment, is conflict management. And if you want to do a subtitle, it's a subtitle that we haven't heard in a long time, marriage. And for some of you that are in here, you say, I'm not married. Doesn't matter. You're going to know people that are married, or you might be married someday. And the more you know about the Word of God, the more you're going to be able to minister the Word of God to people. Others of us that are in here are in places where, you know, marriage is something that we are part of. And sometimes we find ourselves stressing in marriage, doing the fleshly things, doing the worldly things, and actually having conflict. And Debbie and I were in the middle of a godly, well, sort of godly, conflict. That means we need to use some, if you will, conflict management here in order to get ourselves back on track. And I remember as a young preacher for years, I would do the counseling when the church was much smaller. I did all the counseling, so I would do 10, 12 counselings a week, and four or five of them were always on marriage. And I would go through the marriage steps and those duties of the husband and the duties of the wife, you know, and I would go through them three, four times a week. So when I got home, there was no problems. I already had the Word of God on the inside of me. I had been living it, but then all of a sudden we stopped doing the counseling, and I'm just like you. The less I think about the Word of God, the more I will react to my own natural ways. The Bible makes it very clear in the book of Proverbs that where there's contention, that means fighting of any kind, there's pride. The root of the fight is usually pride, almost always in Scripture. It makes it very clear. And sometimes I want my way about things and Deborah wants her way about things, and we have a conflict going on in a marriage. We're angry at each other or upset with each other, fighting with each other in a sense. And some of you have been that way too lately, and you haven't been where you've been at because you haven't been doing what God said. You've been doing what you feel. The storm in your life is speaking louder to you than the Word of the Lord. Is everybody listening? Watch this video, if you will.
Lucy, I gotta be at a television rehearsal in half an hour. Is my breakfast ready? Are you still not speaking to me? Look, I don't care if you don't want to talk to me or not, but please get up and fix my breakfast. I need my strength. Lucy, are you going to fix my breakfast or not? What do you want me to do, starve to death?
Would you please?
We've all been there. And we've all felt that way. Would you please? And so many of us over the years have just simply forgot the simplicity of the Word of God. This morning, before I could get any message at all, Debbie and I were kind of batting the ball back and forth, put anything you want into that. And we were in the middle of a bit of strife and anger and displeasure with each other. Of course, I didn't do anything wrong. And I would be the first to admit that. And but yet at the same time, Deborah would say the same thing about her life too. And we found ourselves in a place, and so we did something we haven't done in a long time. I sat down with her, and I said, come on, sit down, let's get our Bibles out, and let's talk. And we talked about marriage conflicts, and we talked about marriage. Then we went to the Word of God, and we discussed it verse by verse. And by the time that we had finished, it wasn't who was right, it wasn't who was wrong, my friends. By the time we had finished, it was really about the problems of our life were solved. Not because I made this big change that made her happy, because I hadn't. But not because she made a big change that made me happy, because she hadn't. But the conflict was solved as soon as we brought Jesus in as the mediator of our marriage. And we used to do that on a regular basis, because anytime the storms were there, we knew immediately we need to go back to the Word of God. But lately, we've been lazy at that. I was thinking about it. My mom and dad had been married 67 years. They fought a lot. And I actually had to bring my father one time when we were young pastors into the office and counsel with him. He didn't like that. He was a very proud man and he didn't particularly like it. But he went along with it and listened to what I had to say. And Mom and him were pretty good 99% of the time, but the fights would be, there were there. I don't know that anybody doesn't have an argument. You may have a marriage that's ideal, and you may have a marriage that never fights. And I'd say bull, because most of you will have your tension between each other from time to time, but it doesn't mean that you're bad. It just means you're listening to the storm more than you're listening to the answer, which is the Word of God. So let's just do something tonight. Let's just get into the Word of the Lord. I remember Debbie's parents. Debbie's parents were married and they were childhood lovers. When her mother was 7 years old, she had a boyfriend. She didn't marry him. And I think, how many years were they married, would you guess, Debbie? 70 years? Close to 70 years. And don't think for a moment there wasn't conflict. Don't think for a moment there wasn't fights. Everybody has them. The question is, how do you solve them? Because getting mad and leaving and hurting somebody and divorcing and separating from each other, that's really not the answer. It's not what God would have for you. But applying the Word of God, and as we talked about, just even with those disciples in the boat, they missed it, had no faith, because the storm was speaking louder than the Word of God. And we've got to get to the place where the Word of God speaks the loudest in our lives. Is anybody listening to us at all tonight? I'm going to take you back to the beginning about the duties of a husband and the duties of a wife, which clearly, even if you say to yourself, I hate this, I'm not married, I just went through a divorce, I don't want to hear it, trust me, you need to hear this tonight. Will you give me that a little bit of encouragement that you need to hear it tonight? And the reason for that is because there's someday, if you serve God, there will be somebody coming along that God brings into your life, and you need to know how to treat each other. And that's so important for us. Let's start off in Ephesians, the 5th chapter, and let's look at it together in verse number 21. Ephesians, I love this verse because it's so powerful. We'll just pop it up on the overhead for you. And let's look at it together. Here we see a formula being put together by God, and it's really a commandment of God. I like to call it a duty, but I don't know that God says, this is what I suggest to you, any more than he was not suggesting to his disciples to go to the other side of the lake. He said clearly, let's go to the other, we're going to the other side of the lake. That means that's where we're going and nothing natural can get in the way. So when God makes a statement like this, he makes a statement that is so important for us. And I love verse number 21, he says, submit one to another. In other words, it's not just all her, it's not just all me that is submitting in this. In order for it to work, we need to have a respect for each other. But more importantly, notice what it says, in the fear of God. I need to fear God, and in order to give her the leeway and she to give me the leeway. It's not me pushing her around or her just being a servant slave to me any more than I am a servant slave to her. We both have ideas. We both are smart people. We both are aggressive personalities. And we both are people that are not afraid to fight. We've always fought. Not just with each other, and I'm not talking about that, but about everything in life. How we got this church, we fought for it. We worked hard for it, we fought for it, and we told the devil to go to hell. And so what we had to do is we're fighters. Now two people that marry each other, that have their own opinions and ideas with each other, have also got to be people who are gonna do something. Realize that both of us are important, but the most important here is God. And he is the final say to everything. So it says this in verse 21, submit one to another in the fear of God. Then it goes into verse number 22, and he starts right off verse 22 about the wives. Can I just say something? Because he starts with the wives, there's only four, if you will, duties that he asks the wife to do. Only four. I mean, the wife has it made. He may start off with the wife, but she's got four. The man has a lot more responsibility. He has eight duties. So the woman has four duties. If she'll do those four duties, that man's going to be so happy, so pleased, so thrilled with her. He's going to absolutely be nuts about her. But listen to this. Those four things, but the husband has eight duties that God says are really commandments that God is expressing. The first one, it says, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. In other words, he's not the Lord. He's not God. He's not infallible. He's not just somebody that comes along and blasts out and tells you what to do and that's the way it is. But she says to take a role, to submit, to get into a place where you're going to see your husband as somebody as important enough to realize his position. He's going to go on and describe that in just a moment. And I love this part about this verse. It says your own husband. Sometimes men think they can push all women around. Can I tell you something? Men don't push anybody around, not even their wife. That is just not godly. But the wife needs to realize that the man has a position and she does need to get underneath the very mission of that husband as he goes forth, bringing forth a healthy and strong family. Not to all men, but just her. And I love the way he emphasizes the word own husband. The next thing that we see in verse number 23, is this: for the husband is the head of the wife. So I guess you would say as you read that, that there's a body and the husband is the head. The head is the one who is taking the body to a healthy, strong, good place, not a bad place. I mean, if your husband has taken you down the tubes, down the toilet, into sin and perversion and disgust, nobody's saying to follow your husband into some kind of sinful act. So many times you see these wives, they come along and they're following their husband and they're robbing a bank or they're doing some gross, incredible, horrible thing. God's not telling you to break the laws or to be in a position of sin. But it does say that the husband is the head. Now, is a husband the head just because God says it? Yes. That's the order that God has, that he's the head that's going to dictate the health to the rest of the body. If my head doesn't dictate the health to the rest of the body, guess what happens? I find myself failing. So the husband is the head. Everything in God's system has order. It is not a free-for-all. It is not an unmanaged. Everything in God's existence has order. In this particular time, the order is the husband is the head of the family or the wife in this particular case. Why? Because anything that's out of order is going to cause problems. Sand, for an example, belongs on the beach. But if you take sand off the beach and put it in your eye, you're going to find yourself that sand is out of place in the eye and it's going to rub you so raw and get you to be so sick that it could destroy your whole life just because it's out of order. But if you take sand out of the eye, put it back on the beach, everything works good. Everything in God's system, everything in God's existence has order. And the order is that God speaks it into existence. He doesn't say that man is better than a woman. He doesn't say that man is superior than a woman. He doesn't say that man is smarter than a woman. He's not saying that at all. He just says, this is the order. And when the family's in the order, listen to this, God ordains it and God speaks to it and God makes it work. Now, not only is the man the head of the house, one of the commandments would have to be is men, you have to, here's your first, if your first mandate from God, first commandment from the Lord, if you will, our first duty that God calls you to is to be the head. And he's not talking about just the head that does it. It's a spiritual head he's talking about. So the responsibility of a man as a head is to take the body to a spiritual place that is healthy and in the order of God. You're not taking the body to a perverted, disgusting place, but to a spiritual place where there's growth and health and strength in the union between two people. Is anybody listening? It's very important for us to see that. And he says, for the husband is the head of the wife. There's no doubt about that's the order. It's not the superiority thing. A lot of guys say, I'm the head, and I try to act like they're the superior. Come on, get a hold of yourself. This is not about superiority. This is not about intelligence. This is about the order of God. And when you do it right, whoo, your marriage gets blessed and your children get blessed. Your finances get blessed. Life starts to open up. Life starts to become a blessing. Can I just say this to you? There's not one person in here tonight that would say they do not want to be blessed by God. You want to be blessed by God, or you wouldn't even be in this building this night. And that's what this is all about, is God wants to do something in your life. But in order for God to do something in your life, you're going to have to hear the word of God and realize that this is the order of the Lord. And when the storms of life rise, instead of you doing what you think or what you feel or what other people are talking about or saying, you do exactly what God said. We're going to the other side. And so without that, my friends, we're going to fail. So he goes along. Now he describes how the husband is to be the head of the wife. As, I love the word as there. I should have highlighted it in the word, like a red glow to it. Because now he's going to not only just tell you what to do, he's going to tell you how to do it. I love that when God tells me how to do something, because I read the word of God sometimes, I don't even understand what he's saying. Has anybody ever read the word of God? You go, what does that mean? Well, guess what? Most of the time when God wants to do something, he wants to give you instructions on how to do it. I love that. And oh, it became red. Those guys are good back there. And listen, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. And so here we find, as Christ is the Savior of the church. In other words, that he is the one that is going to protect and provide, take care of, build, strengthen the church of the Lord. And he says he's the Savior. He's not the destroyer. He's not the dictator of. He's the one who's the Savior of the body. The women represents the body issue part of this whole thing. You know, are we seeing anything at all important? And then the next verse, verse number 23, starts with the word therefore. And it says like this. Now he says, this is so important because I want you to see this. Therefore, in other words, because of what I just said, submitting one to another, and wives submit to your own husbands, and then husbands, you're the head of the house, and husbands, be the head of the house, spiritual leaders of your house. Be the spiritual leader of your house. Then he comes along, verse number 24, and the very first word is therefore. The word therefore is therefore because of what I just said. So because of what I just said, now he's going to make a statement. Just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands. And I love this word, in everything. And I want to define everything to you. I want to say everything that is godly, because it's not everything. If it is ungodly, contrary to the ways and order of God, nobody's asking you to submit to that, ladies. If it is sin, nobody's asking you. If it's evil, nobody's asking you to do this. So when God makes a statement, everything, if your husband is godly, looking for the best of the family, you better follow that guy, because he's the one that's going to help you get into where you need to be. And it's so important for us to see this. Verse number 26 comes along, makes this statement. Husbands, and I love this word, love. Everybody say the word love. Because it's kind of a fascinating word. Because you won't see God giving commandment to the wife to love the husband. Let me say it again. You won't see God telling the you won't see God or hear God tell the wife to love the husband. But you see the husband is to love the wife. And he tells them again, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself her. What woman wouldn't want to let her husband be head if he's ready to live a sacrificial life for her betterment. As Christ loved the church is the example, what did Christ do for the church? Sacrificed on that cross at Calvary. Gave himself up for that cross at Calvary. Died for the betterment of that church that he was doing. He gave it, sacrifice. Oh, there's nothing better than sacrificial obedience. And here is Christ doing this. And that's the way the husband. What wife wouldn't want to follow their husband if they're acting like they're going to give up what they think and all that stuff and their feelings and stuff and live a sacrificial life for the betterment of their wife? And that's where I failed with Debbie. That's why we're fighting so much. Because I want Debbie to take care of me instead of me taking care of Debbie. And when in fact we need to take care of each other, we see all that all the time, and love each other and respect each other. So verse number 25 is a really powerful statement that comes along and makes it very clear that it's a sacrificial relationship. But in verse 26, it says that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word. What the heck does that mean? When Jesus went to the cross, he opened you up so that you can now be washed and cleansed by the Word of God. As the Word of God comes in, it gets the old stuff out. As you start listening to what God says instead of what you think or what you feel, it gets the old feelings out. And so here he comes along and he says this, you might sanctify and cleanse her. In other words, he's talking about his wife. The object for a husband is to set his wife aside from everything else and keep her spotless before God. In other words, honey, we're going to church. It shouldn't be, you know, we used to have in our American churches, we don't have this at the Rock, that there are more women in church than men. Men used to not go to church. Right there is a sad indictment of that church. And then this church grew to the place where there were more men than women. Now there's about equal men and women. Because here's the reason why. Because men were not being the head of their house, wanting to protect and take care of their families. They would go to the wife and say, let's go to church. She'd say, I don't want to go today. Okay. No, this is my house. I'm the head of the house. I'm doing my job spiritually. You need to put your makeup on and let's go. It should not be the wife saying to the husband, let's go. Let's get the kids. I don't want to go. It's football day. No, let me tell you something. Football, record it, man. That's why we have recorders. You know why we have recorders on television? Because a Christian decided that he thinks that church is more important and probably invented it so the husband doesn't give that excuse. So the job of the husband is to get the Word of God inside of his family, inside of his children, inside of his family, and anything that would come and take the Word of God out of the children, take the Word of God out of the wife, is the husband is like a guard, as Christ is to the church, is going to guard that and not allow it to happen. Are you following me? So he's washing of the water. In other words, the Word of God is going to wash us and cleanse us from the inside out. And see, that's what God's looking for. Then he comes along, if you will, verse number 27, and I love 27, that he may present her, the wife, to himself a glorious church. Now, relate, I want you to get the picture of this. This is speaking of the example of the husband and wife is like Jesus Christ and the church. One more time. The example is the husband and wife is an example on this earth of Jesus Christ and his church. Now, one more time, because this is very important for you to understand something. The example of Jesus Christ and his relationship with the church worldwide, the example of that on the earth is the marriage between a man and a woman. Good. The husband and the wife. And no wonder marriage for the last number of years has been under attack. No wonder that the people and the majority of people try to dictate what God says and try to defeat what God is expressing. I don't care what the Supreme Court says. I don't care what the government say. Can I just tell you a little story? I don't give a flip what you say. I'm not afraid to tell you that marriage is between a man and a woman and is an example of Christ in the church. And anything different than that is a perverted doctrine of demons. And we need to stand up for the righteousness. You say, well, I don't feel that way. You ever thought about why you don't feel that way? You don't feel that way because you've been head shrunk. You've been trained by this world to be in such a position that you let stuff go on. You don't think, stop for a second. Don't get mad at me for a second, but let me explain this to you. Do you think God in heaven, who created the heavens and the earth, who put an order on this earth, listen, do you believe he stops and he says, oh, there's a society that believes that. I guess I'll just go along with what they believe. You gotta be kidding me. Well, there's more people that believe that than don't believe that. So God is saying, I think I might have made a mistake. I should change over these years and I should do what the people want. Here's the whole thing about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is about us doing what he wants, not about, and whether it fits our thinking, whether it fits our feelings, whether it fits our ideas, whether it fits our philosophy, whether it fits our politics, it's what Jesus wants. And it's between a man and a woman. Sorry. You can go, I didn't say you couldn't go made up. Go made up. Don't call it a marriage. And not in my business. It's not. Because it defiles what God's trying to express here. And anything that defiles what God's trying to express, man can't override God. You may not agree with it, but you better get in line with it because you're going to be absorbed by it if you don't get in line with what God says. And somebody needs to love you enough to tell you the truth. And I didn't write that, God did. So here I am, Pastor Daniel. Never have me back again, I don't care. But let me just tell you the truth. The truth is, it makes it very clear that he might present her to himself. Notice the capital H, speaking of the church, a glorious church, not having spot nor wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and without blemish. That's what Jesus is to the church. That's what a husband is to the wife. Is anybody listening? Now, if you're mad at me, send me an email. Calvary Chapel, Santa Barbara. You know, whatever. I don't want to hear it. I could care less because you can't talk me out of the Word of God. Just can't talk me out of it. I've been around too long, not afraid of man. I'm going to tell you like it is. One of the problems in America today is we let things ride in the American church without standing up for ourselves and saying it what the Word of God has to say. And it's time for us to say it like it is. Those of you that don't like it, bye-bye. Because it's truth. If God said it, that settles it. It's the way it is. Now, where am I? I'm off of it now. Verse number 28. So husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. There ought to be such a oneness between the husband and wife that when one hurts, the other hurts. When one's not doing well, the other's not doing well. When one is having a bad day, everybody's having a bad day. Let's get back into the Word of God. Get out of the bad day. Get into the Word of God. That you love your wife as Christ loved the church. You ought to love your own wives as your own bodies. There means a oneness between a husband and a wife that isn't there between anybody else, but it's between the husband and wife. Verse number 29, for as no one ever hated his own flesh. So you ought to love her as much and more than you love yourself, but nourishes and cherishes it. See the word nourish and cherish? Circle it in your Bible if you have your Bible, very important. The word nourish means that the husband is supposed to now do something with the wife. You know what it is? Is to make sure that she's getting the proper nourishment in life, a spiritual nourishment. I'm not talking about buying a, 25 dozen tacos for $4 and bringing them home. That we're not talking about. We're talking about spiritual nourishment. In other words, the wife is fed well. That, why? Because when you feed that wife well, she's gonna be healthy, she's gonna be strong, she's gonna be able to continue, the body now remains healthy. But the word cherishes means that you put a value on her. I was reading in this little watch thing. I love watches. This guy gave me this watch years ago. And I think it's the same guy that gave Bayless his watch. I don't know. But I have the same kind of watch Bayless has, you know? And and we both know the same guy. And he gave me this watch. I don't know if you heard Bayless last Wednesday night. He had that watch. And I never did ask him, did he ever give you that watch? I didn't even know he had one until last Wednesday night. And so this watch I have is because somebody gave me this watch. I really love this watch. So the guy that gave me the watch, I've spent a lot of time with and talked to him, is really into watches. Watch to me is like $10. If it runs for a year, glory, throw it out afterwards, 10 more bucks. So, we're talking about 80 cents a month. What could be better than have that kind of a watch, you know? And but this guy's really into watches. And he was telling me that they have men's watches, and I forgot the name of the company, that is the best watch in the world for men. And they go up to $1 million for a watch. In fact, I think it was Beyonce who bought her boyfriend a watch for $25 million. I'm not sure about the figure. Some crazy figure like $25 million was like the third. It wasn't even the most expensive watch in the world. There's more, there's $6,500 million watches. Just watches on somebody's arm. Let me tell you something. You walk down San Bernardino streets, $100 million watch on your arm, you ain't got no arm left. You may have your body, there ain't gonna be any arm. And I might be the one that jerks it off of you, you know what I mean? $100 million, let's talk about this. But there are watches, and that's what God's saying when he says to cherish the wife, is that you treat her as some fine, very valuable thing, not something to be abused, not something to be thrown around, not something to be thought of as little. I mean, who wouldn't want to be in a marriage like that? And he says, nourish and cherish her, just as the Lord does the church. Does the church, doesn't God come into our presence and edify us? Doesn't he build us up? Doesn't he nourish us? Doesn't he cherish us and see us as valuable? I don't know if anybody's ever said this. If you're born of the Spirit of God, you are the richest human being on the planet, because there's nothing greater than the price that was paid for you. And your value is determined by what was paid for you. The devil never paid a thing. But Jesus, the Son of the living God, creator of the heavens and the earth, gave his life for you, making you the most valuable commodity on the earth. I don't care what anybody says, you are the most valuable commodity on the earth. You ought to say amen to that one. If you don't, man, we have problems. So he comes along, nourish, cherish, treat him like something of great value. Verse number 30, let's take a look at it real quick. It says, for we are members of his body and his flesh and of his bones. Watch this, verse 31 comes and it says, for this reason a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. Thank God that there's one flesh, not two. And two. See, if you're living two separate lives together, you're missing out what we're talking about here, what God's talking about. The word is being spoken and you're not hearing it, and the storms of life are gonna get there. He says, you live your life out as if you were one flesh. But verse 31 comes along and makes this. Verse 32, it says, "For this is a great mystery, if I speak concerning Christ and the church." Great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Wait a minute. You were talking about husband and wife. Yes, great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. That's why the marriage has been under such attack, even politically in our country, because of that one verse right there. Verse number 33 comes along and says these words, watch this. "Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she loves her husband." Does it say that?
No.
Wait a minute. "Let the wife like her husband."
No.
Does it say that?
No.
No, it doesn't say that. Not one time did he tell the wife to love the husband. Here's what the wife is to do, is to respect the husband. If you don't respect the husband, you'll never follow the husband. If you don't respect Christ, you'll never follow Christ. If you don't respect eternity, you won't fight for eternity. If you don't respect hell, you'll just let whatever it is push you around till you lose it. You have to respect this. And he says, here's what a man is looking for, respect. I want you to respect me. How? As a man, and as a provider, and as your covering, as your protector, as one who brings nourishment to this family, provides for this family, loves this family, and will fight for this family. And that's what a man does. Don't give me that love. Don't send me no flowers. Don't give me no candy. I don't want that stuff. I want respect. That you see me as one who will fight for you in order for us to make this thing work. And I want you to know something. When a husband knows he's respected as a man, he'll do all of these things. If a husband is belittled, he won't do them.
That's right.
Wives, hear what I just said. It's so important. That word respect is so important. You can break down and cry, but respect him while you're crying. And then he'll just mush out and give you everything you want. That's just for me, not from the word. That's the way I treat Debbie. I say, "Debbie, you can get anything you want. Treat me a certain way, whatever you want." You know. So cool. Anyway, I'm finished. If you got something out of that, give the Lord a great big praise. Okay?
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.